This is November 10, 2009, melting titanium number 31. Starting off about tactility, contrast, the Trinity. I think you'll find this pretty good ion stuff, never heard before. Challenging, push the envelope. But still early, slight simpleness going on. Okay, so.
Okay, so I'm saying that Dan Witter's basing his concept of the ground of feeling and balance on the peak experience. I would say no, the tactile contrast is the perception you would ground everything on.
We did this the other night with the roller coaster. You don't gauge the roller coaster on how high the first hill is. You gauge the roller coaster on how much it takes your stomach once you're going down the first hill. Then you go back up, then you go down, then you go back up, then you go down. That's why that's fun. People pay money and wait in lines. They queue up to have that as their experience.
A simulation of tactility, which is the interplay of contrast. And the heart is a systole-diastole interaction, which is a manifestation physically of contrast.
Yes.
The waning and waxing, is it? Waxing and waning.
Yes, waxing and waning, yes.
Yeah, so that is the... That's why if you have an image or a concept of something, you have to include its cancel, its complementary interruption, which would not be a concept, it would be an experience. And that's the complementariness of the thing. Now, well, I won't go into that tonight, but then you get into not this duality, but the triad.
Play. Well, now, there's nothing wrong with that, but I know what you're doing. You don't want to confuse the issue, but we will anyway, so okay. We'll kick you off the hook. You have the triad, the Trinity. Well, in, within, and without. Within, within, without. Without, without, within. Within, within, without. Within and out, and in and out, and in and out. In and out, in and out, in and out, in and out. Boy, we're going to get spinning here in a minute.
Or up, down, up, down, up, down, up, down.
Yeah, up, down, up, down. Same deal. Same song, different verse. Very good. Now, once you get to that place, then you find that there are degrees. Degrees. Now, not as necessarily of separation, because we've already delved through that pretty painlessly. Not necessarily separation, but that can be a part. But actually, it is a duality within your Godhead.
Mm, that's the you, mm. And the you and you?
Yeah. And there's two non-physicals? Wait a minute,
yeah.
What?
Yeah.
There's two bodies? Wait a minute, what? There's two minds? Wait a minute, what? Have you ever changed your mind?
Well, you're just engaging the other part that already was there.
Have you ever put on 10 pounds and then lost 10 pounds and then put on 10 pounds and then lost 10 pounds? You didn't even change your waist size. Now, you haven't gained an ounce since you were a boy, but you're not the standard by which the world systems are judged, thank goodness, however.
What about my statement, which I forgot what I said, but I said something just before that, the two labyrinths of the mind, non-physicals. Is that the parallel world?
No, that's all right here, right now.
So why is there two of everything? Because that's tactile contrast? You couldn't know anything without the other?
How would you experience the future if there wasn't a past?
So the two minds, the two non-physicals, involve the past and the future?
Well, no. The two non-physicals are the ones that get you off the roof when you're dancing, and they also get you out of the well when you've fallen.
That's interesting. Past and future is a doubleness.
It is. You can't experience one without the other. You know, our non-physical, we'd say, leave it alone. It's not worth the bother.
Is there something about physical that non-physical cannot understand? There's a limitation, a limitation within non-physical. So the physical can be its own reality. There has to be a disconnect in some obscure way, not an emotional disconnect, but a disconnect, so that non-physical cannot know fully the physical.
No, you were hitting on all cylinders, but here's the rest of the story. Now, we're going to give you the Paul Harvey version.
Which I just saw a picture of him the other day. He just died here. And I never... He's still of a
dapper-looking, dapper-looking radio guy.
But a cowboy hat he had on.
A Stetson cowboy hat.
And was he a southerner?
He was from Chicago.
But he liked that cowboy kind of image.
Yes. Well, it wasn't always a mean. It was just one of many. But if he wore a hat, it was a Stetson. version of the rest of the story. So get us back to where we were because we forgot. About how the non-physical does not understand some of the things physical does. Oh, okay. Then very good. The Paul Harvey version of that story is very simple. Here you go. We did that. We cheekingly did that so you'd get both sides of non-physical.
Oh, the other non-physical didn't get it.
Non-physical doesn't forget, Bob. That's the point. But we
we're talking to two ions here, in a sense.
And that's why we had to essentially had to bring that up from essence, because otherwise, how can non-physical provide a negative connotation? How can that be?
I don't think it can.
Oh, but it can. Oh, I beg your pardon.
Oh, because there's two of them. Because there's two.
There is.
That's why ion sounds like a devilish laugh sometimes. That's the other side.
He's trying to run with it 15 minutes for the good and 15 minutes for the evil, but there's no evil. So
right.
It's the contrasting side of it. Because otherwise, now think about this just a second. What non-physical being would say to a sitting president, we want to blow up Nagasaki? What non-physical would say, your wish is my command? Here you go. Boom. Here's the bomb. Here's the button. Here's the deal. Here's your meal. Here you go. Love you. Mean it. Blow them all up. What non-physical would do that? All right, now you got the Third Reich, and you got this babbling, stumbling Adolf Hitler running along here. It's going to take over the world and don't get rid of them Jews and the blacks and the Greeks and anybody else that's not white, blonde-haired, blue-eyed. Those Germans weren't blonde-haired, blue-eyed. But yet this Aryan race was going to be the essence of the perfectness of the platitudes of what you call the human geno-specific type and get stopped all this miscegenation where you start having dogs and cats laying together and having all these problems. Well, this dynamic is a simple one, and it's not so big a deal as we're making it out to be, but we're giving it for inference so you can get the taste of the contrast between chocolate and vanilla. Point is, the distance in that process can allow a creator, a human creator, to engage a crime family, what to call the mafioso, who is the don of the day. Well, they weren't being piously religious in that experience, were they?
Who wasn't being religious? The mafia?
Don Corleone.
They weren't being religious.
Well, they were religious, but they weren't being religious. They were very religious, but they weren't very religious. The family stands. You cross the family, well, you're going to have a horse head in your bed or dead or play that fun game, suffocation.
What people say today is that they were religious but not spiritual.
Exactly, and that doesn't make a lot of sense, does it? But it's a pretty good analogy. So spiritual is good and religious is bad. No, that's not what we're saying. So there you see, you get the backward side. You have like in tennis, you know, you have a front spin and then you have a backhand. Well, the same thing with non-physical. Now, here we go. So here's your point now. Sometimes, Bob, non-physical, through the physical, can make a straight lick with a crooked stick.
Then you get into rim spins. Is that something involved here, or is that...
You can, yep. Do you know what it is?
A rim spin is the movement of air in the opposite direction from the movement forward.
Well, that doesn't make sense.
Okay, what is it?
We don't know what that means.
Oh, rim spin is like this... When a plane's going along, isn't there some kind of frequency, vibration, or movement that rotates in the opposite direction as the air moves off the plane?
It's called lift.
Okay. So rim spin is something to do with weather. I think when the clouds are spiraling in one direction, it spirals off in another direction, other parts.
Yeah, that's kind of called a tornado.
Oh, okay. So rim spin. A person I know, I won't mention his name, he called rim spin as the side effects. I don't know, if you look at a wheel spinning, doesn't the hub eventually start turning in the opposite direction in your after image or in your mind's eye?
Well, we've been very clear about that from the uncivil one among you, that the wheels on the bus go round and round. And yes, if you start staring at it, there's all kinds. But see, your lying eyes will have the wheels going one way and having the bus back up.
That would be the doubleness coming in.
Yes, but that's your doubleness. That's physical doubleness.
Yeah, physical.
So what we're talking about is, where do you get the evil, non-physical, to help you with your evil deeds?
I don't think you mean the two non-physical divide the good and evil, but I applied that, so now you're playing with that.
Yeah, I'm playing it to the end of the time, yes. We're going to emit some time, or time to submit. So that's fine, because then you can start making sense out of things.
So physical can use evil non-physical.
No, there's no evil non-physical. That's a word.
But your question was, why does a Don, I don't know, appear religious?
How does someone come into a place? How does someone bankrupt a country? How does an Ayatollah Khomeini run a country? How can they come into that place? Well, he's a marvelous creator. Well, is he more powerful than everyone else in his country?
No, but people want a leader, so they...
Well, apparently was.
Yeah.
And, for a very long time.
And then he...
And whoops, any man that said it wasn't so.
Yeah. And he
did.
and he separates the good from the bad, the evil ones among you. That's the point, right? As a leader, creates a separation process. So that's where the power comes in. He feeds on people looking for blame someone. So he provides them...
So much. I mean, yes, that can be an experience, but that's not an ipso facto. That can be, but there's a larger dynamic here. The dynamic of the creating of the contrast is people get delusioned into this place of where they want to be. Well, they don't know that's where they want to be. We do this all day, every day. Somebody will get on the line with us, and they'll want to have a reading, and they'll want to know. They'll say, we want to go to Texas. Texas is the impossible dream. We cannot get to Texas. We want to go to Texas, and Texas is the only thing that's going to work. Well, we stop and we say, okay, why do you want to go to Texas? I don't know. I've never been there. I've just seen some pictures and some postcards, and everything's big there. But Texas is where I want to be. Okay, but why do you want to be there? Well, because that's the only choice that there is. Well, wait, there's other choices, and you've never been there. So how is this the impossible dream when you've never been there to even know if you even like it or not? Nope, that's it. I'm sorry. Non-physical, you don't know what the hell you're doing. You're just sort of staggering around here, leading people in and out of the abyss and trying to drag them into that gulf. If you could ever just get them to stay in that gulf, then we wouldn't be having this conversation over and over and over again. And all this spooky spiritual business that comes along and making things go bump in the night and making the boogeyman live under the bed and tearing up closets, losing things, car keys awry, paper clips gone. It'll put money from other worlds in your dryer vent. It is amazing what will happen. Well, if you could just stop all this. Stop it. Stop it, non-physical. Don't be doing this no more. No. Don't be dragging them off and don't be putting them back. Why can't everybody just stay? You can stop all this revolving door business. Because every time that door swings open, it also swings closed. Every time that door swings open, it seems to swing closed. There's more people that are staying or coming than there are going. Do you know how you can tell?
Population's increasing.
Imagine that. You keep increasing. So therefore, the world must be getting bigger, right?
It must be getting bigger to contain new numbers. Is that what you mean?
Isn't that interesting? And yet, there's vast expanse that not a single living soul even occupies.
Yeah, so the world doesn't have to get bigger.
Apparently not. The concentration, they call that concentration camps, didn't they?
Yes.
Oh, well, now we're back to it.
Well, McLuhan said in the 70s that cities were concentration camps.
Correct.
However,
go ahead.
Oh, I was hoping you'd provide the however.
No, this is your happy quoting land. So if you want to drag the quotes in, you get to do the howevers.
Well, okay, I'll say this. So what McLuhan said is these were concentration camps, but that was only for the chemical bodies. The TV body, chip body, released the chemical body from the concentration camp direct perception and thought they were somewhere else. And that's why they absorbed more and more media.
And guess what it also did? It also activated the astral body. full of shit. Thank you. I'm not having it. Love you. Mean it. You can blow up the whole wide world, but it won't blow up me.
I think of people in New York City or whatever, trapped in their apartments, and they're actually in their chemical bodies. They don't look too happy, but they're actually, they close the door and they travel off in their astral body or their TV body and chip body. It doesn't matter how they look in their chemical body. It's not a game.
Isn't that what happened in the Little House on the Prairie?
I never watched that series, so
it's in the book. And we hope you would engage it from a literacy point of view, with the idea that an author could go places and write about things that were beyond their knowingness. Do you see? And even going back to the magical, marvelous place of their deliciousness, within and without, within and without, within and without. We've done this before. Within and without. There's your rim. There's your rimming. If you want to be a rimmer, here's your rimming.
Rim spin.
That has another connotation if you really keep going with it, but we'll stay with it. It's all right. I mean, you know, dogs also smell things that you wouldn't want to smell either, so it's okay.
You're saying that the author of Little House on the Prairie didn't know anything about the prairie and made up.
Correct.
And he went other places by writing.
And then brought everyone back to the little Olsen girls that were just mom and apple pie, Chevrolet and hot dogs, apple pie, and baseball and Chevrolet. See, so that became the standard and brought people back into the simplicity of this wilderness experience. A wilderness. What is a wilderness? Well, people find themselves in the wilderness. That's where the children of Israel were. They were in the wilderness. They had avoided and put themselves away from their creator.
Yeah,
they're the creator. Wait a minute. What? How did they put themselves away from themselves in the wilderness? That's the other part of non-physicalism. It says, okay, if that's what you want to do, please yourself. Your wish is my command. We don't understand it, but we are with you. We're not only with you, we're part of you. We're so much a part of you that you can't tell you from you.
So I want to bring up a topic which is interesting. An acquaintance has been telling me, he's looking into how there's a group in the Catholic Church who secretly do exorcisms, priests, because it's apparently they're not allowed to do it publicly or talk about it too much, so they do it secretly.
Well, that things are changing. That is a right in Catholicism. Now, the Christian Church does that as well.
Well, they're a Christian church, but you mean other Christian churches?
No, I mean not Catholic Christians.
The non-Catholic Christians. The non-Christian Catholic. The representation of the non-physical
you have
is going to turn them into non-physical.
Yeah, you're going to turn them into the un-Christ-like Christian. Oh, yeah, now there's your good descriptive adjective.
Yeah,
un-Christ-like
like
Christians.
Yeah, then there's the Christ-like non-Christians, then there's the Christ-like Christians, then there's the Christian non-Christ-like.
And that's when your daddy would shake his fingers and say, now, do as I say, not as I do.
Yes, so this person was telling me that the intellectual eminence in this secret field within the Catholic Church was describing the new manifestation of Lucifer. And this is an important point. It's going to be good to have Ion talk about it. The priest said, according to my friend, and he's very witty, very learned, knows how to talk about it, and he says, the average people have no understanding of what Lucifer is.
We don't either.
I know. You can say as we go along your comments, but I know this, but we'll move along. So it says, he says that Lucifer, the basic situation that it finds an entry into is the family. If there's a disconnect in the family, someone is traumatized by a death, divorce, or something,
eater problems, lascivious living, losing your sanity, Alzheimer's, a baby with mongoloidism, all these different things come in as they would call the devil made me do it. It's what worked for Flip Wilson.
He was saying that Lucifer comes along and he only gates to get into this vulnerable person who's gotten into a bit of a disconnect because of a trauma in their emotional stability in the family. And so the two things are jealousy and envy. And Lucifer can come in through jealousy and envy and take over the person. And then the priest went on to say, Lucifer goes for more intelligent people, or it's good to get talented people, but that may be an illusion. But anyway, let me just say that. And then he says, the key thing about Lucifer is he comes to play. And so my friend said, that's what Ion says. Are you worried that Ion might be a demon Bob, a Lucifer, because he says he comes to play, likes to play. So he went on about that. I mean, he's not, you know, rabid about this, but he's brought up these questions. And so I was listening to what he was saying, and I was thinking that everything he was saying, he was quoting the priest, Ion would disagree with. And that would set up Ion, obviously, as Lucifer, would disagree with what the priests were saying. Now, Ion is discussing how vampires are coming here, the thinning of the veil, the ghosts are more visible, and all these new effects. This is going to be a crisis for the Vatican, which is the authority on these areas, and they're just going to see Lucifer showing up everywhere.
But they don't even accept that females have coitus with females. They don't even understand that sometimes men folks engage in same-sex relationships. They don't acknowledge that if they get rid of all the ghosts and all the exorcisms, then tell me this. How do you get the Holy Spirit to come and live in your heart if you're not embracing non-physical to come be a part of you? If the Holy Ghost didn't come on the upper room and they started speaking in other tongues and they come into a place where it was the expatriation of the spirit man coming into its liveness, then how was Lazarus stone cold dead and then comes back to life? The spirit jumped in and out of himself. So when you start dancing it that way, now let's just keep going. You're cooking with gas now. You let the hogs loose, so
yes.
Let's let them run a little bit. You had legion. Legion, which means many, if you take it through the exegesis of all the different dialects that your scriptures from the Council of Nicaea in 25 decided was apropos for the day.
Yes.
When you get legion, he was demonically possessed. He was dancing his clothes off. He was wild. He was a wild man. He couldn't control himself. He did not have control of his emotions at all. Now, that's what you're really talking about. And we don't disagree. We think that the world would be served well with some exorcism. Lots of exorcism. It makes great movies, but lots of exorcisms. But here's what happens. When you exercise something, Bob, just like when you lay it down like a bad habit,
yeah.
What do? You don't get rid of a bad habit. No, you replace it with something else. So when you start running these spirits out of people, they're going to be replaced.
Mm-hmm.
And typically, with your antimicrobials and your bleach and your other sanitizing elements of clean, what can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Okay, what happens when you use that? When you use the blood of Jesus, when you cover something in the blood of Christ, okay, it'll be washed white as snow. Wonderful. But then when it comes back dirty again, what's it going to clean with? It'll build a resistance to it. That's what you're talking about, moving into the more articulate, more intelligent people instead of the dumb clucks that are devil-worshipping. No, that doesn't please the devil as you're talking about it. No, as we're going to move into the more accelerated version, we're going to XP, we're going to Windows 7, we're going to get to Vista, we're going to get that chip body exercise, we're going to get it straightened out. No, we're going to do a Mac. No, that's an Apple. No, it's a Mac. No, it's an Apple. Wait, a Macintosh is an Apple? Okay, yeah, so it is. Okay, so which one is the devil and which one is the Holy Ghost? Well, then you kind of go, well, now, wait a minute, what are you talking about? You're babbling around here like it's going out of style. But let's go back to Legion. Legion was demonically possessed with many, many spirits. And Jesus came in here and he said, Legion, be loosed. And they said, no, Jesus, don't do that to us. Don't do that to us. Don't turn us out. Don't turn us out. Don't cast us out. Don't cast us out, you marvelous creator, you. And then Jesus turned around and said, what I've done on this earth, you'll do in greater things. So apparently Jesus had a real good idea that the human creators could control the non-physical. And he could cast out spirits, okay, ones that were not appealing. Well, we don't understand appealing spirits. Oh, is that like kindred spirits? Oh, that means if you think the way I think and we think the same way that we thinking, that our thoughts can be thanked the same way we can think alike. Well, I don't know, but that's what I think. Now, Legion, Jesus cast out these demons because human individual beings are the creator and they have power. They cast these spirits out of Legion. Them spirits, Legion, many, that went out of Legion, is what his name was, that went out of him, they went into a load of hogs. It was the first swine flu in your planet. And them hogs got them spirits in them, and they busted out of their pen. They are slop, or let's see, hog waller, I guess that's what it'd be, where you slop the hogs. Well, they had them demons in them beasts, in them hogs. And they busted out of their pen. And they went running, running, running. And they jumped off the cliff. And Bob, we're here to tell you empirically forever that was the first time that the pigs flew.
Very coherent. Very poetic here. It all fits.
It all fits. Now, are we again the papacy? No, we ain't again no papacy. We think the Holy Fathers are holy. Oh, yes, they have many holes that they go in and out of. In and out of. We love the Trinity. We love the church. We think it's a marvelous thing where human creators can come together and be like-minded in their participation in this thing called creation, because that's what it's about, you see. If you go back to the beginning of time, if you go to Emit, but now let's just talk about this. You talk about the beginning of time, but you don't know when it is. Then you talk about the end of time, and it should have already come. Well, you see, you get it so tangled up that now you have those that are there. Run your credit cards up, get rid of your house, load it all up, because the time end is near. The end is near. It's over. It's the end of days.
I had a thought, when people talk and say that stuff, they're actually possessed by the medium of language, and language is making this stuff up, but you ask the chemical body brain what he's referring to, he wouldn't know.
Oh, it's the devil, Bob.
Yeah, language is the devil.
All right, now we've been undoing time, and that turns into emit. Okay? When you live, if you turn that around, what is that?
Evil.
Exactly. And see, you don't judge evil till it is. You don't live until it's lived. Because, see, that's a life. You want to live a life, but the life you've lived. And when you've lived, guess what that turnaround is?
Devil.
Now, look out, Mr. Android Mean. We better start singing on here. Them Catholicisms is getting to catching on, you see. The only problem with the dimension of the evangelical right.
R-I-T-E.
Yes, very good. The evangelical right, not R-I-G-H-T, the evangelical right is a plausible, energizable, powerful emitter of a frequency.
That's right, that ritual.
It is. The same way marvelous, powerful human creators can imbue a box and make it an ark of a covenant, the mercy seat. Now, them same Catholics, I don't care if it rains or freezes, as long as I've got my plastic Jesus sitting on the dashboard of my car. Now, they're the same ones that the top 10 says, thou shalt have no graven images that you worship. And then they put Jesus back on the cross.
Mm.
Well, what kind of Messiah is still on the cross? Isn't that like having the bad bowel movement and then saving it? See, what's the point? If Jesus arose, why you leave him on the cross? Why you make these graven images that you worship? Uh-oh. Now, that's what they got tangled up with Baal. Uh-oh. Now, wait a minute. Now we're going to build temples. We're going to build temples to worship these graven images. Uh-oh. Now, easy. Easy. Now, that's Jesus' cathedral in Vatican City, isn't it?
Yes.
Is it?
No, it isn't. It's Peter's.
Oh, Peter must have been Jesus.
Yes.
Now, wait. Now, I'm confused now. Is it Peter's theater? goal, the field goal, and the Galatians, if they Ephesians, Colossians, and First, Second Kings. Oh, I'm a king, so I'm kings.
Corinthians.
Yes, and Chronicles, and then don't forget, you got the Ephesians, both of them. Oh, I'm of James. No, I'm of John, of Patmos. That's different than St. John, because now there's a John and then there's another John. Well, the whole point of this is they end up making them saints. Nothing wrong with saints. We think saints are wonderful. But now guess what? What if a saint, now we're going to get there. What if a saint, which is a spirit, but if the saint became the embodiment in another human creator, would that be calls for an exorcism? Who's going to decide?
That's a good question, Ion.
But we can leave it all behind and sail for Lahaina, just like the missionaries did long ago. We'll even put up a neon sign and say, Jesus is coming. It brought the white man's burden down, but it also brought the white man's reign.
You're quoting Last Resort.
Yes.
Yeah, that's the lyrics. This intellectual priest was saying that the family was the core proper institution, and the disruption of the family was the work of Lucifer. Would Ion agree that the family is the core human anchoring salvation, healthy institution?
It's not the family unit, it's actually the tribe. What he's making reference to accurately is the different delineations of the tribes of Judah.
That's what he means by family? He doesn't mean mom, pot, and pop, and the kids?
No, he doesn't. If that's true, then you should only marry within the family.
So the family is the realm of where there can be propagation.
Because in the tribes, you didn't marry in amongst the tribes. If you were Jesse, are you an Ephraim? Are you from Manasseh? Which tribe you're from, that's the one you marry into. Oh, wait, that's a meme that's caught on. Isn't that how your monarchy works? You can only marry royalty. Therefore, the only royalty is the ones that's related. Now, wait a minute, which is it? Are we missing something? We're just non-physical here, Bob. We're nothing special
so
about
the,
us.
Yeah, so the family in the monarchy level becomes an elite family, an elite tribe, and then there's the underling tribes, but then there's the different tribes, and Lucifer scrambles the tribes from that time's
line.
That if the priest who's against Lucifer says Lucifer's come to break up the tribe, he meets up the family, and it means family means tribe, then Lucifer breaks up and mixes, miscegenates the tribes from the priest's point of view.
Yeah, and I guess that's how you get a black president that is 1/16 black.
Okay, there may be more you want to say there, but I want to bring in this other point, which was very interesting. My friend was telling me the priest said that the angels were engaged with the light or God or something, and they would dance, and the higher angels would be better dancers. And so Lucifer,
that's called archangels.
And then they said that Lucifer was the greatest dancer. So dancing,
yes,
is an expression of Lucifer. And so then I immediately thought to my, I know, I'm just following their thinking.
Sorry.
Just to finish their thought. But the thought that came to me was, this priest is actually unwittingly talking about the tribe of Levi and the role of dancing on the ark, and he's forgotten that and thinks,
very good, because that's exactly what we were going to clean right up. You're supposed to rejoice before the Lord. You're supposed to rejoice. In all things rejoice. In all things rejoice. Isn't that something having to do with the fastest path to your joy? You can't rejoice until you joyce.
Yeah, that's living.
That's enjoying your living. Why, isn't that what we're talking about here?
Yeah.
And how you find peace in your emotions. And how emotions.
Emittings. Would emotion be emittings?
No.
What's emit? What do you emit?
Well, you spew lots of things out of yourself.
That's
Bob.
Right. Language and gesture.
You spew nice things, and you spew evil things, and you spew mean things,
And you emit time.
You emit time. That's correct. And then go tick-tock and tick-tock and tick-tock, and then you have these rationalized experiences that are then deemed appropriately labeling any evil that was lived, or that was lived, and it's the devil. Then you get that you are another spirit snuck in that was more powerful. Now, here you go. Here's what you're getting to. So what that priest is saying is that the spirit that invades these human creators is a more powerful creator than the individual human creator.
And that's not possible. Spirit as
it is not possible. Can you draw on it? You absolutely can. You absolutely can. People drank spirits.
That's a better way to do it. It's physical.
Well, now you're laughing, but now does that spirit get out of that bottle and jump in them?
No, I was thinking it's knowing the physical is more powerful. So if you're going to engage with a spirit, make sure it's physical, because then it's half a chance of being powerful with you. As I'm speaking ironically.
Yes, but guess what? It ends up, you drink enough, guess what it does? It makes you forget. Now, wait a minute now. Oh, now, easy there, Trigger. Hang on, Maud Amy. We're going to get there.
That means forget the rules in your mind.
No, that means forget the actions that the human creator took upon themselves and imbibed.
Becomes an alibi.
You call that imbibing strong drink.
So if you actually do actions that others deem uncivil, you can have an alibi. Oh, I wasn't aware of myself.
I was impaired. I was intoxicated.
The devil made me do it.
It was that devil. It wasn't me. It wasn't me. It wasn't my physicalness. It was that devil.
So that's
well,
why they
don't put that devil in jail. Okay, put that devil in jail. But now, not me. It wasn't me. I didn't have nothing to do with it. Oh, okay. Well, but you're the holder of that devil, so we're going to put you in jail. Well, okay, I understand. But Jesus will forgive me, so it'll be all right.
So that's why they say there are spirits in liquor. People know they're going to forget, so they blame it on the spirit. So they claim there are spirits in the liquor. So they call them spirits.
It must be very powerful. You know, them drunk drivers that everybody talks about where people get liquored up and jump in their cars and go tearing up down the road? Why is it they don't ever get killed? They always live. And now they mangling, maul, and stroke guts in the roof and down the road. Lord have mercy, their blood is flowing in the gutters from them drunk drivers tearing up down the road. Why don't it ever kill them? Because them spirits that they're imbibing relaxes and allows them, and they got no reason. They get their guts strode wrong too, but they decide to live. But they relax and allow through the process. They don't tense up and get their body mangled all to pieces. They may have a few bowel resections, but that's all right. That's what that says.
They got the non-physical working with them.
Kind of. Yeah. We're not trying to be cheeky. We're just making an analogy of a representation. Why don't the drunk drivers, instead of killing everybody else, why don't they kill themselves?
Why don't we throw that question out to our audience? We have been listening to Ion and myself for an hour. We might want to...
Oh, it ain't been no hour, just a few minutes.
We never know. We didn't spend... We emitted for a span.
Hour. The only reason it was an hour is because we were sharing together.
Yeah, and it was our OUR. We were hogging the microphone. Do you want to see how they're responding, our listeners, our wonderful audience?
Well, they will never admit it. Admit it. Or emit it. They never admit it. But you have two cardinals within the Holy Roman Catholic Church.
And they're listening.
One is in the Archdiocese of Washington, D.C. One is in the Archdiocese. Well, he's in Boston now, but he was in Philadelphia.
And they're tuned in.
They are tuned in, and they are intrigued at this new medium of exchange.
Were they informed of this by the nun in Rome who tuned in a month or so ago?
Maybe. Papers have been written.
About what we've been doing.
Yes.
You mean letters and notes, not essays, not journalistic articles, just things have been written. Communiques have been made. Is that what you mean by papers?
You said we didn't say. We just said papers have been written. Now, whatever that means.
Well, to me, papers, that's an academic phrase.
Leave you and what you think of it out of it, and it'll show up. Don't undo it. Just let it be.
And the Vatican's always tuned in.
Have been, yes. They're
on the leading edge. They pick up on what's happening pretty quickly, don't they?
If you had the Kodiaks, you could pick up on things, too.
The Kodiaks, those are photographs.
No, they're not. That's a Kodak.
Oh, the Kodiak, that's right. The Michelangelo's design.
Yeah, that's paper, too.
Oh, is it made paper? It's not... okay.
The book.
They have the book. Is that derivative of the Emerald Tablets?
No.
Side issue. Dan Winter mentioned the Sumerian tablets.
Yes.
That Zachariah Sitchin analyzed the findings of ETs. But anyways, you would know.
They were found in Sumeria, but they were not Sumerian of origin.
But the Sumerian tablets that Zachariah Sitchin analyzed to find evidence of ET communication or something, without going into the validity of those ideas, were those Sumerian tablets that he was referring to stamped or influenced by the Emerald Tablets?
No.
So let's go back to the Cardinals. They have some questions, ponderings, and emit.
No, they can't have questions because here's the problem. Mm-hmm. Their belief system was not allowed this to be in their experience. So now they're crossways of the very church that they love and try to stay celibate regarding. They've eliminated their possibility of their non-physical participating within the physical because it has to go through God. So you pray to God. Okay, that's no problem. God answers your prayers. Okay, that's no problem. The Messiah came to earth. Okay, that's no problem. Okay, the Messiah is coming again. They come every day. So, yeah, no problem. The whole process, you see, we're good. Every bit of this, so far along, we're good. The law. You want to have a law? Great. Ion has laws, or no, Ion only has one law. One ruling, one rule. No, one rule is there's no rules. But that's a rule.
You can have some rules.
So, yeah, you can make rules. Now, in different venues, in playing with non-physical, then you have different ideologies that you would embrace. For example, on your radio stuff, you don't use vulgar language. That's a rule. Now, that's not Ion's rule. That's not our rule. We don't think there is any bad language. We don't understand it. But, I mean, your language, you made it up. Why would you run around making up bad words? Why, if you're going to create the language, why create bad words?
Okay, did pre-literate tribal people have bad words?
No.
The literacy brings in the division into good words, bad words, and grammar.
No, that was the devil.
Yes, that was the devil.
In my way now.
Innocent.
So now you're telling us, and this is the meme that we're trying to get to the point. You mean to tell us that that non-physical, demon from hell, it created that language. What a marvelous thing. This devil must be pretty powerful if he can do that. God himself can't.
I've understood and heard from various people that in the Bible it says that the angels could not create language, and humans created language, and the angels were jealous of that.
No, angels have language. They have a language.
Are angels part of non-physical, therefore not creators? Good question.
It's a very good question. And we were
another topic?
Are you joking? You'll never remember. I better start answering quickly or you'll have forgotten what you asked, Bob. What are you talking about?
That's right.
So the wheels on the bus go round and round. You better catch it on the next swirl because it's moving on down the road here.
Yeah.
All right, here you go. Now, let's just clean this up right here, right now. This has been a
clean it up. That's straightening it out.
This is you. This
you're straightening it out.
Let's get it straight right here, right now. The angels have a language that is beyond human words. communication skills that can shake the foundations of the world. There is a powerful, marvelous vernacular. The songs of the angels can wake the dead. The songs of the angels can temper the vilest beast. You're waiting on the angels to take charge, and Gabriel, the archangel, now let's see, Lucifer, he was an angel, and he's the one that supposedly created all this nastiness. He was the head angel. And here's what that battle was about. It wasn't over right and wrong. It was over who's in charge. The war in heaven was, you have heaven, okay?
Which was created by humans.
No, which was created by God. But who is God?
Humans.
Correct. And how do you know that?
Well,
I would like some empirical evidence for non-physical, please.
That's a good point. It's the dogma that we've learned from Ion.
It's not a dogma. It's not a dogma.
Yeah, dude.
create? That was the question. They have their own languages, can smoke this world. We did that.
They can. They are. And we're trying to be soft so we can say every single time without fail or exception, this is the case.
Mm.
And we also don't want to pee or urinate in anybody's Wheaties just because we can't. So we're trying to pick these words very specifically and still not undo creation and still allow the creators to still create. So, angelic forces and beings, their primary job is to assist in the transferal from ascended beings or recently departed or stone cold dead or croaked or the most recent suicide victim or the ones that shake off their physical body and lay that burden down. Yes, Lord. And they're going to give up the ghost. Uh-oh. Wait a minute. That's another problem. But anyway, stay on the straight and narrow here. Their main focus goal in their beingness is to assist and participate in the transferal of the human spirit that's out of the body to the Gulf, and from the Gulf back
to here,
to new human creators.
Yeah.
You do understand that's where the stork came from.
Ah, stork is an anthropomorphic aspect of the angel.
Remember the stork game?
Yeah. It has wings.
Well, it certainly does. And a big old snout to haul the souls and dump it into the mama.
Yeah, so where did the stork envy? What culture created that?
You did.
No, but which culture? Like, which culture?
You did.
The British.
Yes.
And
Britannia. Britannia all the way.
Is there a sociological reason why that image replaced the image of the angels? Human creation, just we like to make it different?
Yeah, they mix it up. Stork sounded better than angel. Daddy, 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 mama's pregnant. She's going to have a baby. And I asked her what was going on, and she says, oh, honey, the angel came to visit mama, and I got a baby. Well, that's not going to go over well in Sunday school.
Right.
The Nephilim had troubles with that already anyway. That's what caused your flood. Angels was making intercourse with humans, and they was getting pregnant, and they were making these super beings.
Oh, yeah.
And it was making problems, so that's what caused your flood.
Okay, so the rule was remove the angel concept and bring in the stork. Okay, I got that. Now, they're not creating. They're just...
Now, wait. Now, we're almost there. We almost got there because we're being careful. Angels have power to communicate. Angels have power to summons. Angels have power to hedge. Do you know what we mean when we say hedge? Not a hedge fund. A hedge.
To kind of protect or buffer?
Well, not protect. Just don't call it protect, because then that means that you're invulnerable. You're not. But sometimes they can hedge.
What would that be? Holding back energies? Redirecting them?
Yes. You're the human creator, and you're just having a fit to go. Carolyn said, let's go. And you said, Carolyn, I'll be ready in 5 minutes. And she said, great, that means 5 hours. What is it? Okay, Bob, you don't have to straighten the pillows. We've got to go. We said we had to be there, and we got to go. Bob, we got to go. Okay, Carolyn, right this way. Okay, I'm ready, ready. Okay, where's my shirt? Does this shirt work with it? And then we go on and on and on and on. And then she's like, well, let's just don't go because it's going to be 8 hours after we're supposed to be there. Well, the angel can slow you down sometimes so you miss a train wreck on the way.
Ah, hedge. That's the hedging. That's slightly protecting you.
Well, now you can embrace that or not. Okay.
Yeah.
But now, wait a second. You can't say angels is bad. Oh, wait, Lucifer's an angel. Uh-oh. Now what are you going to do with that?
Well, he got into a fight and became a quote, bad angel to
because he wanted to help.
No, he was not. He was only asserting his angelic beingness. So God made angels. So did God mess up?
No, God, actually, Lucifer won the battle, and he got assigned Earth.
No, he didn't. He lost the battle and was put into the Earth so that the humans, and the whole job of your humans, according to the Christian story, was to come into the Earth so you could, through free will and choice, choose God. And you do. Every single time, without fail or exception. And you choose to create. You are the creators. And everything that's in your experience, you create. Every problem in your life, you create. And every good thing that you create, you turn around and make it a bad thing. Asbestos is a wonderful thing, and you turn that just south. Real quick, and did no devil do that. Did no angel do that. You human creators did that. And you're mixing it up. And if you're talking about the difference between what's good and what's evil, that's wrong. You can't get there from there. They're not parallels to make a symmetry regarding. A balance. A balance. Sugar's good. Sugar tastes good. Everybody craves it. Everybody likes sugar. You like, you're partial to sugar, especially in the form of Snicker sugar, aren't you, Bob?
Yeah.
You like sugar?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, sugar's not bad. Oh, yes, it is. It's terrible. Ooh, yeah, that'll, you know, it's just, it's awful.
Rot your teeth.
Rot your teeth, rot your gut, make your pancreas quit, make you have to take pills and shots and elixirs and lotions and motions and potions and just, it just tear you right up, gives you energy, oh no, it takes it away, oh it helps you out, no, it wipes you out, oh it makes the medicine go down, oh, well then that's a good thing, if a spoonful of sugar makes the medicine go down, that can't be so bad, so you're in and out and in and out and in and out. So I guess the sugar must be from the devil because it's so confused the human creator.
Yeah, now where's Lucifer? He lost the battle. There was a battle and it was judged.
He lost a battle in heaven, yes.
And why did he lose?
Because it was two again one.
Did he regret that?
No, he doesn't regret it. He's still an archangel. That's the whole point. Human creators have given Lucifer power. The same way that the children of Israel, when they got the Ten Commandments, they created Baal, the calf, the golden calf.
Right, right.
It had power. We'll build an idol that we can rejoice in. We can have a god. So therefore it was. Then you go, well, that's just silly. Guess what? When we say Baal, people know what that means today.
So the angels can create.
That's not what we said.
What did you say? You said
we went through the whole process of the individual powers, their individual powers, okay? But a hedge is not a creation. Communication is not a creation.
They're massagers. They massage.
That's correct. That's fair. That's an easy way. They're assistants. They are qualifiers. Sometimes they are uplifters. Sometimes you can be off so far from yourself that an angel can come and have a visitation with you. It's happened countless times.
Does the angel appear in different forms, or is there a constant manifestation that most humans who experience an angel would agree on?
The formations vary, but they would all agree that it is a quaking point of light.
Is the human quaking, or it appears to be quaking?
It appears to be quaking.
And that means not wavering.
Correct.
Quaking. Good. What would that be?
Quaking. Get
pulsing? Pulsing.
You won't ignore an angel. If an angel comes to sit in your foot of your bed, it'll be quaking. You won't sleep through it.
It'll be emitting at you.
You better believe. You will know. You will know. You will know.
Didn't an angel appear to JW in Cairo?
Yes.
In May 2007.
And he understands this process very easily and doesn't push against it, so therefore angels are his beck and call. He can summon the angels to do his bidding. Now he's back to creating. He even creates and imbues the angelic realm for his bidding.
For his wantings.
Well, of course.
That's like bringing non-physical to assist you.
No, non-physical is different. That's my point. That's why we were being so careful with the words, so that you didn't twist it in and make an Illuminati of angels that are going to come wipe out the U.S. plantation and release all the slaves, and then nobody's going to be able to pick the cotton anymore. So where we've been very careful.
That was my opening point. My opening question assumption was, are angels, if they're non-physical, then they don't create. Now, you've now led to the punchline, which is, no, they are not non-physical.
That is correct. And guess what? When you die, croak, leave, you don't become an angel.
It's like angels are part of nature, but they're super nature. If Guff is non-physical, and we have the physical world here, and all that we've created we call nature, the space between the physical and the non-physical is like another part of human-created nature, but it's in the etheric, and the angels are part of nature, super nature we can call it, in the span between us and the Guff.
Let's call it second nature. Second nature applied. Because then you have the natural, and there's a lot of evil things that are natural. Oh, wait a minute.
Humans decide, make them evil.
Well, there you go. Good save there, Bob. Because let's talk about intercourse. What's wrong with intercourse? Nothing wrong with intercourse.
Nothing wrong with this, but the human relationships and equations get jealous and mixed up about it and say, I want that person to intercourse with. You know what I mean? And then that creates conflict.
And I want this woman, even though she belongs to somebody else,
yeah.
She's prettier than my woman, so I want her. And then it goes on and on and on. Well, that's the devil. No, it's not the devil. It's the human creator sifting in the co-creation of this process. You got the rapers, and you got the pedophilias, and you got the bestialities, and you got every other dynamic of that. Well, you can't categorize all that as just the devil made me do it, you see.
Yeah, and the devil is the labyrinth of the mind. It is the Holy Ghost, the perceiver, the human that makes decisions to mold relationships between the physical and non-physical, or just to mold the physical. Is that an approximate, accurate statement about the thing that makes the evil?
That's pretty good. And we're softening this because we don't want to get so type specific that we finish, because then we'd be complete, and then we're never complete. So, when is
so
that?
Okay, how are the cardinals responding to this?
Well, they're engaging because it allows a larger dynamic of their own spirituality to be made manifest in their spiritual walk with God.
But they have developed their ESP to be able to hear this.
Yes, they have, but they have to denounce it because it would be the devil. The Pope didn't give a memo saying that was okay, so therefore it ain't.
Did they learn to develop their ESP naturally aside from their priestly functions, or does the Vatican teach people?
No, on their own. The Vatican does not. What happens is this activation, the gifts of the Spirit, everything that everybody's talking about that the devil, the Christian Church, has a parallel to.
Everything that we talk about, the Christian Church has a parallel to.
No, everything that you blame on the devil, the Christian Church has a parallel to.
I'm not sure what the parallel function is.
Parallel. Legion was a human creator possessed by demonic spirits, okay? Christians want the Holy Ghost to come live in their heart and take over their very body. The church has
a so-called good version of everything that goes on, or a special version, or
we don't know good or bad. From
no,
that
you don't. But the church says, oh, there are spirits, but we prefer the Jesus spirit, not the devil spirit. They make a parallel.
And but everything that they're accusing the devil of being culpably responsible for, the humans still do.
You mean by parallel, they do a counter manifestation of what they're putting down by default.
They do, and they embrace death. So now what you've got to look forward to is dying. Well, if on that, oh, but you get eternal life. You got to die, and you got to be ready for the judgment, and you got to live good, and you can't do wrong. Oh, wait, all have sinned and fallen short of the grace and glory of God. Uh-oh. Have fallen short. So you're all sinners. You're born into sin. But then you get over the sin because you're forgiven. But if you do something real bad right before you croak, then you go to hell. Uh-oh. Wait a minute.
You undid all the good life you lived.
Up apparently, or you live like hell all your life and then let the Holy Spirit take over
10 minutes before you depart.
10 minutes before they can schedule the exorcism to take the Holy Ghost out of you. And then you get to go to heaven and be in paradise. And I remember we had a word about paradise. We don't know why you call someplace paradise and then kiss it goodbye.
We do that, and that's in the lyrics of Last Resort, and a lot of people doing it here in Maui.
You do. You human creators, you negate even what you call creation.
Right.
Paradise.
The point about getting to paradise is it ain't going to solve your problems. You got to figure out how to balance your tactile contract.
If you go to paradise and you can't find a way to relax and allow here and now, you take your stuff with you most everywhere you go. You'll drag hell into the pearly gates of heaven.
So it always begins with you and the relationship with the other you. That is the only relationship. That's your whole universe.
Yeah.
Now, do we have some questions? I hogged the microphone here, which was to our delight. We've learned a lot. But is there any audience reaction we must acknowledge or would like to acknowledge?
Yes, they have a question, and this comes from Egypt. Cairo.
Name?
Peshawar.
What's the question?
The question was that there are many sacred objects and relics in my country, and is there a specific place where objects that should be used to document future terrestrials that are already in this planet that can prove that there was intersection with future terrestrials in our experience now?
He's asking if there's any documentation of that right now.
No,
here.
Relics.
Oh, that document what will happen in our present?
No. That prove that there have been intersections with future terrestrials in the past.
All right, are there relics that show that?
Yes.
There's a lot of mythology that the pyramids in Egypt has those kind of relics. Isn't there folklore about that?
Yes, but they can't seem to find it, and they can't. It's the last place that they live, and that's always our answer, but we'll be more specific.
Good question.
It is a very good question. This is an hour and a half south of Cairo, and it's spelled Hawanar.
Hawanar.
Uh-huh. And you'll know it because if you look about an hour and a half drive south of Cairo, that's where this is. And there is artifacts there that are findable that prove that future terrestrials brought technology, brought insight that is present there in that geographic area. There's a few temples there, and that's where they're found, that will prove that future terrestrials were visiting in Egypt in the past.
What I like about this questioner, they understood, sounds like they've been listening before, that they weren't to use the extraterrestrial term. They used the correct term for ion.
Yeah, that's great.
They get that.
Because, see, from their forefathers, that's how they know. And there's great power, and they don't screw with the power part. They know. Meaning, they don't dick around with it because you don't want to lose something. But these spirits and things that are imbued and that are empowered, they can become very, very, very methodically, hypnotically activated within the meme of the day. Just like in your culture in Maui, you don't piss off Pele.
So you're saying that this questioner, male or female, did not have to be told that we prefer the term future terrestrials rather than extraterrestrials. They already used that concept.
That is correct.
So you described where the artifacts are. Is there anybody in the temples or wherever those artifacts are in Hawanar who know those artifacts are there?
No, because they haven't found the labyrinth yet.
In the buildings or constructions or alleys?
Well,
tunnels.
The ruins.
The ruins.
You understand the problem? really building, they would take down stones off of temples and put them on other temples. When this is going on for a very, very long time. So most of it was sort of like desiccated or torn up, but not this part. This would be as close as you could find to your Acacia records. To answer the question, that's where it is. Dig around the step pyramid, it's almost gone, and go underneath, find the labyrinth, and that's when all the hieroglyphs and specific artifacts are present that prove beyond a shadow of a doubt that future terrestrials visited, engaged, empowered your Egyptian culture.
How many humans in that culture witnessed that interaction?
Thousands, countless thousands. Countless thousands.
Did J.W. visit that area when he was over there?
No, because it's like in the middle of nowhereness. Very few go.
This interaction you're citing, did it happen more than once?
Yes.
Are there artifacts from other interactions with future treasures
yes.
that are other places?
No.
Are most of them of these different interactions, the artifacts that are byproduct of that, they're all at Halinar?
Eight of them are.
Eight of the objects.
The first one, the main one, is a dowel. You know what a dowel is? The stick, a dowel.
Yeah, you stick it into a hole or something, a round hole.
Yeah, well, you can, but a dowel is a round cylinder. Okay, there is a 2.5, well, a little piece of it is sort of not there. So it was 3 feet.
Mm-hmm.
It's a little more than 2.5 feet. It's a rod made from a metal that even those at CERN cannot identify on the planet anywhere.
What was the dowel used for at the time?
A divining rod.
This object was used as a divining rod, and that's what they were shown how to use it? That was the future test. Do you do this for divining?
Yes. And it's there.
Now, what do you divine for? Water?
Water. What do you want in Egypt? Water, agua, mucho agua. But this one is interesting because nothing on the planet has this molecular construction.
And is it a good, excellent dowser?
It is. Let me tell you how good it is. It doesn't find the water when you insert it in the ground. Water comes out of the ground. Have you ever heard of an oasis? That's where they came from.
Do people know how oasis happen? Well, they have some vague notions, but as you look at it, we wouldn't know how it happened, and this is the reason.
You wanted proof. Damn it to hell. You wanted proof. You wanted empirical, beyond a shadow of a doubt, proof. Well, you start explaining how a rod, a spherical rod that makes water bubble up out of the ground, made from a metal that you can't find another molecule on your entire planet anywhere else. If that don't set your woods on fire, your woods wet.
We were talking about eight different artifacts from several.
That was one.
Yeah, from several different interactions.
Yes.
Were they the same future terrestrials?
No.
In each, different ones.
All right, now let's do a little divination here to get this cleaned up. All right, now, hey, there's a document. It's on papyrus. Papyrus lasts a very long time, but this wouldn't last this long a time. This is a long time. Old, okay? Old. Very future. Wait, old.
Very future.
Very future. This is way future, okay? And what it does is it sets up the different places on the planet or different interactions that you're asking. You were asking it to happen anywhere else, and it did happen other places, but the evidence is not anywhere but there.
There's no evidence of the other different places where there were interactions.
There is, but they're just stored there.
All of them. The evidence of other interactions in different places is in this place, where the squirrel, where the...
But you were asking, you asked the question, were there other places where things were for interactions, and we said no. There were other interactions, there's just no documentation. Okay,
any documentation that there is in this place.
There's a, that's correct.
Is it in Howinar also?
Yes, yes. Number two, there's a script, a papyrus, and here's what the papyrus explains. What Stonehenge is. It also explains the trigonometry used for the Phoebus Orion constellation that set up the trajectory of the Mayan temples of Maya in Apanatra. What is it? Chickamauga, Chile.
Yeah.
Chichen Itza is what they actually call it, but we have great fun calling it Chihuahua.
Yeah.
All kinds of different fun things because your time, you change it around as you roll along, you see. But the same striations, if you draw a line in the trigonometry of those temples and how they connect, you'll find those are replicated and duplicated in Egypt. Exactly. To the millimeter. Well, here's even more fun.
The papyrus is where they got the document from, they got the information from.
Yes. Boy, you really want to have some fun. Then you go to Venus. Uh-oh. Whoa, easy. You go to Venus, and you find the exact same trigonometry to the millimeter that matches it exactly.
You mean you find the temple, or you find the document?
No, you find the trigonometry. The lines, the dots that hook together that make those Mayans and Egyptian, and that's also on the face of Venus.
Are you talking about some structure on Venus that has these relationships?
Yes.
That's a structure. And is it a face?
Well, it's close to the face. It's not exactly. It's like to the side. It's like the Sphinx is to the side of the pyramids. It would be part of the trigonometry, but not exactly the face on Mars. That's Mars. It's not Venus. That's different. But there is one also on Venus, but it's not the same. It's not part of it. But there is the same triangulation. It's in the Maya and in Egypt, running in those parallels. But see, that's going to be running in the 19th parallel. That's a little bit different.
The parallel of what? The 19th parallel on Venus or the 19th?
Of Earth. Straits of Gibraltar. Oh, wait, no, that's Tropic of Cancer. Oh, wait, no, that's Copernicus. Oh, wait. Oh, we're tangled up again. Sorry.
It's all the 19th parallel. Okay.
Yes, sort of much. And this has to do with Orion, Phineas.
What's Orion. Phineas?
It's a description of that constellation.
Oh, that there is a constellation of Phineas and of Orion, two constellations.
That is, no, Phineas is in Orion, and that shape, which is the Orion Phineas shape, is the same one that's in Maya. The way if you draw a line from every point of those temples, you get the same shape that's in Orion. Then you go to Egypt, you do the same thing, and that shows up there.
You mean the relationships between different geographically located temples?
Correct. And you also find it on Venus, identically.
Sure.
You also find it in South America.
You mean in the strips of Nazca or something like that, in Peru, Bolivia, someplace in South America?
Yes, it's down there. It's those ones that James
oh,
was
yeah.
dancing to.
Right.
Oh, wait, that's a sin. That's a sin to dance. We didn't mean to say
We don't have those concepts. So I once saw an In Search Of, I think Leonard Nimoy hosted a TV show, and they showed the Aegean Sea, and there were these temples, known temples from the past, and the pattern the positions made was, I think, the pentagram or the Knights of Malta, eight-pointed star or whatever it is.
No, it's pentagram.
That's another example, not what we're talking about here, but that's another positioning. And the positioning has to be done from an overview. You have to be up in the air to do that, maybe?
Mm-hmm.
So that implies future terrestrial management.
But now that implies that's not empirical evidence. They wanted empirical evidence. Everybody's tired of this moosey-poosey, moosey.
Yeah.
This is not, this is, this is not, this is. But they can't even decide if red wine's good for them or not. And
yeah.
with that. Maybe if you put white sugar in red wine in an asbestos cup, maybe that'd fix it.
You're saying the temples that is the document that's at Hamanar will be empirical evidence of this engineering architectural blueprint.
It also tells what Stonehenge is for.
Stonehenge came long after?
Before.
Not when we think it is, 2000 BC years. Well, we can't use these times.
You can't decide. You can't even do a carbon dating on the rock.
But there is a before. There, you can say Stonehenge is before this document.
Yes.
I mean, this document comes from the people who created Stonehenge.
Yes.
Okay.
Do you not care what Stonehenge is?
Well, we did. We did a session on it months ago. It was set up to help the humans develop a little bit more stable agriculture, not be scavengers and hunters. It was the beginning of agriculture.
But guess what else it also does?
Well, they can line up the seasons.
Yes, very good. Yeah. It becomes a cheater's Mayan calendar.
A cheater's? You mean an inferior version?
No, it just means it's like a, you know how you have, like, if you can't memorize your multiplication table,
you
have a little something that you can look at and go, yeah, 6 to 8, oh yeah, 48, oh yeah.
Yeah.
And then you can kind of go from there. That's sort of what that's
for. It's a cheater's mind calendar is what you said?
Yeah, it's an example of it, yeah.
It's the same gauging of the movements of the skies and the seasons and the sun, all that judging of movement on cosmic cycles.
That's very good, very good. That's very wonderful. Now, there are others, and they're kind of pining for the rest of them, but that's okay. We can save that for another fun time so we don't bastardize it, so we can keep it focused, because you'd want to spend some time on each one and what they are and how it comes about.
What would be a good title for it? We covered a lot of areas.
Oh, that's very simple. EMIT.
Just call it EMIT?
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure why Ion is so keen on emit. I mean, that is what living is, emitting?
No, that's the devil.
Oh, or yeah,
evil.
It's time. Emit. So we emit forth from the guff when we enter the physical.
You do. If you want to say emit is the opposite of time,
yes.
Okay. Don't say equals because it doesn't. It's the reverse.
So the title would be emit is the opposite of time.
We say just emit, but you're witty, Bob. You can play with that. And if you get all twisted up, we can say, time is not on your side. No, it's not. It's not on your side. Time's not on your side.
Yeah, the Mick Jagger really enhanced the erroneous meme of time by saying
correct.
That.
And they embraced it. Then they decided, just like Shakespeare, that love's labor indeed was lost.
The Stones did that. Mick Jagger.
Uh-huh.
I didn't know they decided that.
Well, they like air.
The war in heaven. That war in heaven between the archangels, isn't the guff and angels created by humans? All is created by humans.
Yes. Because it had to come from somewhere. And that's your beginning place.
Is the human.
Because you can't find when you started and you don't know when you're going to end. But morning or night or noon, Jesus is coming soon.
Would the
Jesus
human
should have already come. Wait, he did. He did.
Would the human be defined, when we say comes from the human, would the human be defined as that consciousness that looks out on being while they're in the physical, then looks out on being when they're in the ether, when they've transitioned, and looks out on being when they're in the guff? That consciousness, is that human?
No, that's spirit man.
Spirit man.
What Jesus turned into when they crucified him, he turned back into spirit man.
So spirit man is the proper nomenclature for the creator.
We love it when you use big words, nomenclature.
Yeah,
but it's binomial, too. It's
that's beyond me. But that's, I don't even know nomenclature.
So binomial nomenclature, which is two. Binomial.
Right.
By two names.
That's very good. Hey, I got one. Hendiades. One by means of two. That's a term. Hendiades. By means of two. Do you know that term?
Yes, we do.
It's Hendiades. But the point is when we say all is made by humans, it might be more accurate to say all is made by spirit man.
No, just leave it human creators because you're so protracted within yourself. You don't know if you're going or coming, Bob. So
right. Let's make it one. Make it simple.
Don't confuse them because then that becomes an excuse for them to disconnect. And they're disconnected enough. Their world is falling apart. reason it's a mess is because the Messiah put it in the shape that it's in through human creators. So if you start protracting this out into the heavenlies, out into past the ethers, then they lose all your focus point of, you get so heavenly bound that you're no earthly good.
So very, very liberating. I hope the Cardinals enjoyed their experience.
They do, and be easy about all this. You make big, great, big things out of little bitty nothingness. It's all fine. There is no problem. Even in Chernobyl, it's going to be okay. Just soften it up a little bit. You spend all day sharpening the knives, and then you run around mad because you keep chopping your fingers off. It's okay. Sharpness is good. If you have a really, really, really sharp knife, you'll rarely cut yourself. It's when you start dulling everything off, that's when the knife slips and you start cutting off appendages. Or if you go to the surgeon and they've got a chainsaw handy, that's real handy too. That's how they do their surgery, so it's all good. But just soften it up a little bit. Have fun. It's all
fun. It sounds like
fun.
The devil talking there, telling us to have fun.
Well, good. If that'll do it for you, whatever gets you through the night, Bob, guess what? That's what you're dancing with mostly anyhow. What is it we said earlier? You go to heaven for the weather and hell for the company.
We are complete.
We are eternally.